Why take one vacation with the family when you could take all of them? With Royal Caribbean, you don't just go to the beach. You visit a private island and race down the tallest water slide in North America. You don't just go for a road trip. You ATV and zip line through the jungle. You don't just go somewhere new. You rappel down waterfalls and discover ancient temples. Because this isn't just any vacation. This is all the vacations. Come seek the Royal Caribbean. Ships Registry, Bahamas.
What's up and welcome back to Kinda Funny's Rocky / Creed in review. Of course, I'm Tim Geddes and I am joined by the birthday boy himself, Andy Cortez. Birthday? Happy birthday. How you feeling?
Thank you very, very much. I'm feeling phenomenal. I'm ready to talk about this movie. I'm ready to talk about, I guess, what we can get ready for, which is the real big show in part three. What's his face?
Jonathan Majors
has a face. Yeah. I mean, I don't think of his face. Right? I think of the body.
Exactly. There's a whole lot going on. Joining us as well, the producer / seducer, Nick Scarpino.
Happy birthday, Andy. I didn't get a chance to say that to you yet.
Thank you. Thank you, brother. Appreciate you.
My brother got you some Legos for your birthday and left them on the bus.
Oh!
And he's really sad. Oh! I feel so bad for him, too. And making his return, of course, it's Rocky, it's Creed. We need the one and only Sancho West.
Hey, I'm very, very excited to talk to you guys about Creed. And man, it's good to be back. And hey, you might see me in person soon.
You might. And by might, I mean 1,000%, baby, because he's coming here. He's going to be right there on this table for Creed 3. We're going to watch the movie together. I'm excited about that. And guess what? If Sancho's here, we're probably going to stream with him.
Oh, yeah.
I don't know what you guys are going to get into, but it's going to be great. That'll be the Friday, March 3rd. It must be the day Creed 3 comes out. So stay tuned for that. Really exciting stuff overall. Of course, this is Kinda Funny's In Review, where each and every week we rank, review, and recap different movie franchises. If there's a franchise you love or hate, chances are we have already ranked it, reviewed it, and you should check it out. You can check it out at youtube.com/kindoffunny or roosterteeth.com. You can also get it as a podcast by searching your favorite podcast service for Kinda Funny In Review, and we'll be right there for you. This week, we have two in reviews, which is great. Of course, we have there's Creed, there's Ant-Man and the Wasp: Quantumania. Last week we did Magic Mike's Last Dance, so you can definitely check that out. I was saying it's probably going to get 4,000 views. I'm pleased to say, as of today, it finally crossed 4,000 views.
All right,
we fucking did it, everybody.
We technically have 2.25 reviews out right now. Two and a quarter.
You know what I mean? It is what it is.
2.5.
But you can check that out. Of course, if you want to get the show ad free and watch live as we record these things, though, you got to go to patreon.com/kindoffunny. Just like our producers, Trent Barry, James Hastings, Colin Huguenel, Casey Andrew, Nathan Lamoth have done. We appreciate all of you so very, very much. Today we're brought to you by Honey and Shady Rays, and that's not accurate at all. It's HelloFresh, baby. We're brought to you by HelloFresh, and I'll tell you all about that later. Let's get right into it. I've been very excited to get to this one. Creed, released on November 25th, 2015, which is just so wild to think about this franchise starting in 1976.
Hell yeah, bro.
And having iterations pretty much every decade.
They endure.
Is there any other franchise that has a movie out in the 70s, the 80s, the 90s, the 2000s, 2010s, and now 2020s?
Star Wars, but not in the 90s, right?
Halloween, probably?
Yeah, probably, because they did all those Jamie Lee Curtis like H2Os in the 90s.
Yeah.
But yeah, Halloween, maybe. There's some horror movies. Maybe Scream. No, Scream came out in the 90s, not 70s. That's dumb.
Yeah.
That's dumb.
So, absolutely wild. The runtime is 2 hours and 13 minutes. The longest film in the Rocky saga, directed by Ryan Coogler. Really one of the movies to put him on the map.
Yeah.
Coogie Nights.
Coogie Nights, everybody.
Coogie Nights.
Fruitvale Station was another big one from him. And of course, Black Panther and Black Panther Wakanda Forever. And speaking of that combination, the music was done by Ludwig Göransson. And goddamn, he goes off.
Music in this movie is incredible.
I just can't even.
It's so good.
I I have to apologize to Tim. We'll get there here in a bit.
Oof, that hurt. That stings. I've been there. I hate it.
Have you ever apologized or admitted you're wrong? Ever? No.
No, I wasn't fucking going to bring this up. But we watched the intro before the show started, and Nick looked at himself and talked about himself in the most just disgustingly, like sexual objectification way. And it's like, Nick, you're such an asshole.
He looks at himself in the intro, and he goes, "Oh, man, I got to get that beard back. I look so much better back then. Look at me now. I fucking lost it."
Which I fucking love. I love all of that. But yeah, Andy, I can't wait to hear what you have to say to me because I have some feelings about it, okay?
Yeah.
This one had a budget of $40 million and a box office of $173 million. It was nominated for the Academy Award for Best Supporting Actor for our boy, Sly. Didn't get it, but got the nomination. Sancho West, I want to start with you. What did you think of Creed?
Dude, I remember watching Creed. I mean, it came out like 9 years after Rocky Balboa. So I watched Creed and thinking like, how a great way to continue the legacy of Rocky Balboa. But the thing is, like, when I watched it back then, it felt like a brand new experience still, even though it still hits the tropes of Rocky. It follows the same kind of formula that we've been talking about this entire in review. For me, it leaves a sour taste in my mouth, but only because of what's been happening with Stallone, with the entire Rocky franchise. And I don't want to get ahead, but he's been having issues with Creed 3 and things of that sort. So the whole time I'm watching this, I love what Rocky does in this movie. I love Sly Stallone in this movie so much. And that it makes me feel like, I don't know where to rank it. That's where I've never walked into in review, even as a fan, not knowing where I'm going to rank something. And so I'm so curious to where you're going to rank this one. I loved it. There were some times where I felt that runtime. My only biggest critique against it is that I feel that Adonis Creed or Michael B. Jordan, he just comes off like he doesn't like it. Just rushes the beginning, and he's so mad about everything that I feel like a lot of the characters tell him who he is, and I get that that's the whole point because he doesn't know who he is. And I just feel there's moments of that I'm not finding that attachment to Adonis as much as Rocky. Like when Rocky walks in the room, and I noted it down, it's like 15 minutes within the movie that he actually comes into the movie. I'm like, awesome, he's here, because it just added something to it that the movie was lacking. But I don't know, man. I just feel that with Adonis Creed, I just felt like he's really angry and mad. And I was like, he has a lot of characters telling him who he is or what he needs to go through. That that's where it kind of like loses its mark for me, but I still don't know where I'm going to rank it. I liked it. I enjoyed watching it. This is like probably the third time I've seen it, and I think that the best part about this movie was like it kept the Rocky legacy going in a much organic way. More so, I'm sorry, Tim. More so than Fast and the Furious, where it's like, oh, by the way, yeah, Han never died, bro. He's still alive. You know? Like it did. It never had that kind of a moment like that for me.
Yeah, I'll take next on this just because you're saying you're not sure where you're going to rank this. I'm so sure where I'm going to rank this. This is number one. I knew it was going to be for me when we first started doing Rocky in Review. I had never seen the Rocky movies, and I'd only seen Creed 1 once, and it was on it was the Greg Miller special, where on a flight back from Japan, me and Gia watched it on the back of an airplane seat, which you guys can imagine, I did not want to do that. She started watching the movie, and I was like, "I'm not this." People I know love this movie. I don't want to watch it this way.
This is not the way I want to consume this.
Yeah. So she started it, and I did the thing where I'm kind of like looking over at it, and about 10 minutes in, I'm like, can you start over? Yeah, we both did the thing, 3, 2, 1, hit play.
What's your threshold for that, by the way? Is she 20 minutes in? You asking her to restart over? 30 minutes? 10 minutes is fine.
I'm pretty egregious with this shit. It's, oh yeah, I'm very
hour
particular.
45, and you're like, start it over. We'll
start it over.
Time.
Start it over. Yeah. So we did it all, and I have never been that excited on an airplane in my life. Going through this movie, there are moments where both of us were just like, like so hyped and so in, and it's, you know, just dead silence around us. But so that was like really special to me, and I've been really excited to watch this again, and it's my first time since then, and being able to watch it properly. What it is not my first time is listening to the soundtrack, which I have done pretty much every day since I first watched this movie, which I fucking love so damn much. But I now have so much more context, having seen the Rocky movies in review leading into this. Before just watching it, I thought Creed worked so well. It's just, you don't need to watch the other ones. Like, it's just watching this, and it's a great movie.
That's so wild to me. That's on its so own. Wild to me. You had no context going into this movie.
And I stand by it. That's I think crazy. This movie it's does a great job crazy. Of just working on its own. But now that I know everything, I'm like, oh my God, that's a reference to 5. Yep. That's this, that's that. I'm like, this is so
there's
fucking
the robot.
Good. There's the fucking robot there. Singing you happy birthday.
There's Polly's porn collection.
Yeah, exactly. But
it's like walking, it's like a video game getting all the Easter eggs when you walk around, like, ah, here's Polly's porn collection.
wait, Andy, you guys have that thing where you go, huh? And then you put it down.
Yeah, you rotate it. Polly getting freaky, huh?
And also, this movie doesn't have Polly, so it's like there's just like a lot of wins going on,
right?
But real I adore this movie. Like, I just think it is such a great time. I think it's such a great story. Sancho, I don't think you're wrong. I think that a lot about what you're saying about Adonis as a character is. I get why they did some things, and I think that the choices they made make this kind of work on its own better than like really trying to tie everything in a little too much. But I think overall it really worked for me. There were some choices that I don't think were absolutely perfect, but like goddamn, man, the montage in this movie, the training montage, it's just like it is so inspiring. It is so exciting, and the fight is great. Just like the supporting cast, everything they got going on. Tessa, goddamn Thompson, man.
Yeah, she's great.
She's so great. She's like so natural, I love, dude. She's such a natural. Them together is great. Her having her own dreams and own things she's doing. It's just like, this movie is refreshing as hell. And I love that, you know, with this Halloween, Top Gun Maverick, like, legacy sequels can work and be really fucking good. And like, not just because of what they're tied to, but on their own. I think that this is one of the best examples of that. And I can't wait for next week to watch 2. And I really can't wait for 3. But yeah, this for me is, it's number one. Nick Scarpino.
Yeah, for me as well. I mean, not number one, but I enjoyed this movie, watching it again. I enjoyed it the first time. And actually, just right off the rip, when they were like, hey, this is going to be what this movie's about, I'm like, yep, that makes sense. What a great idea. And kudos to Stallone for finally going for it, because I know Ryan Coogler lobbied really hard with him to make this a reality. And it's just a really great way to build continue the lore of the original franchise while also sort of soft rebooting it for a newer generation. I mean, Michael B. Jordan's a huge star now. He was on the rise then, and this kind of, I don't want to say this put him on the map, because
it did
quite a few things, but he, you know,
he was in The Wire. He was in
Friday Night Lights.
Friday Night Lights and Chronicle.
Right. Fruitvale was the one where he got like a lot of like nods for.
Yeah, Andy, fantastic.
And then this was
He was a Fantastic Four. Yeah.
He was.
And
big star.
So, it's really fun for me. And it was, you know, I'll never forget. I was talking to Snowbike Mike, which is like talking to a child. And he was like, "What's Creed about, Nick?" And I was like, "Well, do you want the long version or the short version?" And he goes, "Give me the long version." And I sat in the Let's Play Lab with
sit
him
on my lap,
and man. I said, "This is the story of Rocky." And then years later, this is the story of Creed. And when I got to the fact that Apollo Creed, who used to be Rocky's biggest opponent and then turned his best friend and then died in the ring, and then years later, Rocky would come back to train his son Adonis. Mike
great
just
name,
went,
by the way.
Mike just went like this.
Oh, such a good name.
Whoa.
It's anime.
Dude. It's incredible, so right? And I love they call him Donnie, too, for sure. But yeah, he's Adonis. In the lore of the Creed family, everyone's named after
but like,
sort of Greek
guy. I mean, they kind of, it's also to kind of keep a secret, I feel like. I felt like he was going by Donnie because he didn't want to be like Adonis. I'm Adonis.
Well, yeah. I mean, I think that's the whole emotional sort of crux of his character in this, is that he's trying to distance himself from his father because he feels abandoned and he doesn't feel like he's a real Creed. And then, of course, by the end of it, he's not no longer a false Creed, as which is a weird thing for anyone to say, but pretty rare. Like, you're a false Creed. I'm like, what the. What does that mean? What does that mean?
It's like, what is it? The fucking demon body or whatever, an avatar?
Yeah. But I really like it. And I think if you were going to ask anyone like who's a huge fan of Rocky, like, how do you continue this? How do you reboot it? Infusing Michael B. Jordan as this new character and having that lineage take over from, because Rocky's great. But we've told all the stories we possibly can.
Like, four times.
They could have gone potentially with one of his sons, but like, we've already seen the sons sort of be growing and doing off on their own. We've seen their stories already. So this is really kind of, a fun way to pass the torch and pass the baton to someone who's more interesting. And then obviously Michael B. Jordan, I just think is, I can see your guys' criticisms with him, but I feel like he works really well with everyone else in the scenes that he's in. And I think he and Tessa Thompson have great chemistry. And I think he and Sylvester Stallone have really good chemistry. And that when he starts calling him Unc, like, I'm like, oh, that just hits, man. It's like,
hits.
Because really what he's looking for is like a father. He's never had a father figure. And Rocky kind of becomes that. But then you have the contrast of Rocky being like, my life is over. And I kind of want it to end because everyone that I've ever loved has moved on. Even my son is living in the far off land of Vancouver. And so it's kind of sad, but you find these characters in a low place and they lift each other up. I think it's a really beautiful story.
Yeah, just a real quick thing. I was reading an interview with Sylvester Stallone talking about Creed 1, and he was saying that he thinks that it's one of the more special Rocky movies because the entire point of it is a relationship between a father and son and how that can change over time, and that it should change over time, and that you should be able to have those relationships with people. And like, and he was specifically saying, like, it doesn't need to be your actual son, but you can have that type of familiar relationship with somebody and have it change their life and change your life back. I'm like, god damn, Sylvester Stallone, like, you want some shit.
Even with the way the movie begins, where Felicia Rashad's like, she's not even related to him, and she's like, I feel like I should, like, you should have someone who, you know, can take care of you. And that's such a complex relationship just right off the rip there of like redefining what a mother can be to someone. Like, how like good of a person do you have to be for your husband to have cheated on you, had an illegitimate child, probably not his only, and then be like, I'm going to bring you up as my own, as my son. And then, and he calls her Ma, which is incredible.
Incredible.
It's good. I don't know.
Andy Cortez, what'd you think?
I watched it and I thought it was fine. And then I rewatched it and had a bit more of an appreciation for it. I'll still say, though, that I think I said this on Black Panther interview, maybe, that, like, I think Michael B. Jordan is one of the top five best actors when he's yelling. And I think he's one of the bottom 10 actors when he's, like, kind of soft-spoken in some parts.
The other 90% of the movie?
It's not all the time, but there's a lot of... I'm such a stickler for line delivery. If anybody's watching interview, you know how I feel about just certain moments with certain actors. And god, when Michael B. Jordan is pissed off or yelling or like doing just something really, really loud and angry, he is so convincing and so real. And then a lot of the other times when he's just kind of talking, it's just like, it just doesn't feel right. There's something just off with it.
I would agree with you. I think the moments he shines in this movie, though, are those moments of like fear in the fighting specifically.
Yeah.
Where Rocky's talking to him and he really does put you in that spot of being on that chair in that corner. And I mean, my favorite part of this is a one little thing where the guy's like, how many fingers am I holding up? And Rocky taps in the back of his head. He does such a great job of just being like, 4, 2. And he's just in it, but he's out of it at the same time, which is, for me, is not
definitely not those moments. Yeah. Like I really enjoy a lot of those pieces. There's just some,
it's line deliveries where he's like talking like one, a little lines here that they're just passing with Tessa Thompson. You're like, you're not really in the scene that well.
Yeah.
Things like that. And it doesn't help that she's also a phenomenal actor.
She's incredible.
And
man,
really, really nailed her character in this and just has this like confident vibe the entire time that's intimidating. And I think he's supposed to be sort of a little bit intimidated by it, and he's not really selling it too much.
I mean, I think the best acting in the movie is after that, the first fight that we'll get to, by the way, amazing. I mean, just the single shot,
I'm a
sucker for that shit.
Let me drop some shit on you real quick about
multiple
that.
One shots.
There's numerous extended shots in the film, which cinematographer Maurice Alberti said helped penetrate the inherent manipulation of filmmaking. The most celebrated example is an entire 2-round boxing match captured in a single Steadicam shot. There's no post-production stitching. None.
Wow.
At all. Yeah. Everybody thinks we're cheating, but this is all one shot. The scene was filmed with an Arri Alexa by Steadicam operator Ben Semenoff, and the director, Ryan Coogler, shot 13 takes of the sequence, with the 11th being the one used in the final film. I just love shit like that.
That's awesome.
But I love that they're like, no, there's no cuts. There's no bullshit.
Yeah.
Was that just you can tell. Because there was cuts in the other ones.
Well, there was cuts in a couple things. Those are obvious cuts.
Yeah.
But
there's a shot where he comes out of the, for the final fight when he's coming out of the locker room. It goes to, like, dips to dark for a little too long, and then comes back up, and I'm like, I wonder if there was a cut there or not.
I think that what they're trying to say is, like, the only cuts are the obvious cuts. Like, that was a cut where they're like, yes, they wanted to explicitly show.
Okay.
This is a cut, because they wanted everything to be like, it's a one shot.
Oh, that felt like one, yeah.
I think, like, where I'm trying to struggle with is, like, I just feel like the way the movie starts, it just doesn't, I don't know, it's like, you're on board, like, how does all of a sudden that, you know, Creed's wife decides to help Adonis after the situation, it just feels like you're not really, you have to make a lot of leaps into what's happening to get on board with what's going down with Creed or with Michael B. Jordan. He's a great actor. I love him in a lot of things, and he always brings his A game. I just felt like when you're adding to the Rocky legacy, when it comes to the differences between Creed and Rocky himself, this movie needed Rocky a lot. And when it comes down to it, I feel that, I don't know if it's a writing thing or something when it comes down to what's happening. I just feel like there's a lot of scenes where people are telling a lot of things to Creed himself. Like, they're telling things to Adonis. They're saying who he is. And it just doesn't – those are the things where I have a hang up in. But overall, I really did like the vibe of the movie. I just don't know, like, where's my hiccup with it? That's the only thing, you know?
Yeah, I do feel like once Sylvester Stallone is brought in, it really feels like – the heart is brought back 100%. Into it.
Because yes,
I wasn't feeling super attached to a lot of the rest of it. Like, just like Sancho was saying, again, I'm more amazed by the spectacle of the one shot. I'm kind of amazed by the technical aspects of that. But when Sylvester Stallone is introduced and he's doing all the Rocky-isms that we talked about in the other movies, and he's just such a lovable goof, man. And I want to fucking fight for this man until the death. Like, I just love this dude, you know? Like, and I feel like he really brings that... he brings that sort of uncle kind of vibe to it when he's suddenly here and he's hesitant at first and wait, who told you this story? What the fuck? Like, oh my God, like you're crazy. Holy shit. What the, like, that realization is just so great. And then just that's adorable moment of him being at the boxing sort of, what's it called? Like the training, the gym. Yeah. Being at the gym. And that great reaction from Michael B. Jordan walking in and being like, oh my God, he's fucking here. He came.
Yeah.
And be like, yeah, I was in town. And they're like, oh, just so adorable, man. He's just the fucking best, dude. And that's why I feel kind of similar to Sancho, where I'm kind of worried about the rest of it, because I know that some, you know, they've had some issues with filmmaking and the rights and wanting to go in certain directions. But I still enjoyed the movie. I don't know where it'll rank for me either right now. I'll have to look at our overall rankings. I got to assume it'll be up there, though, with some of the other movies that we've had in this franchise.
Absolutely.
Absolutely.
Fine. We'll get there. We'll get there later. I want to take a real quick word from our sponsors, but when we get back, we're going straight in the plot, baby. Shout out to HelloFresh for sponsoring this episode. Remember those New Year's goals you promised yourself that you'd stick to? Well, HelloFresh is here to help you eat better by delivering fresh ingredients and easy recipes right to your door, taking the hassle out of dinner time. Fast and fresh recipes, HelloFresh's latest line of meals featuring robust flavors and filling portions, are ready in less than 15 minutes, so you can enjoy taste and quality done quick with recipes like falafel power bowls, seared steak and potatoes with béarnaise sauce, or Southwest pork and bean burritos. A ton of us here at Kind of Funny have been using HelloFresh for years. Kevin loves how easy it is to get Paula vegetarian options, while I just love how quick the fast and fresh recipes come together during a hectic day in the studio. Go to HelloFresh.com /kindoffunny65 and use code kindoffunny65 for 65% off plus free shipping. That's HelloFresh.com/kindoffunny65 and use code kindoffunny65 for 65% off plus free shipping. HelloFresh, America's number one meal kit.
Why take one vacation with the family when you could take all of them? With Royal Caribbean, you don't just go to the beach. You visit a private island and race down the tallest water slide in North America. You don't just go for a road trip. You ATV and zip line through the jungle. You don't just go somewhere new. You rappel down waterfalls and discover ancient temples. Because this isn't just any vacation. This is all the vacations. Come seek the Royal Caribbean. Ships Registry, Bahamas.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Here's the plot.
Ladies and gentlemen, here is the plot for Creed. One step at a time, Tim. One punch at a time. One round at a time. That's how we're going to build this champion, ladies and gentlemen. But first, we got to go back to 1998. the year I graduated high school. We're over in Los Angeles.
I love that's the thing that you pull from this entire moment.
Yep. Like, yeah, oh, I saw that. I was like, okay, yeah.
Middle school, maybe.
That's how it goes. We're over in juvenile hall, and a fight breaks out, and little Adonis just beats the hell out of some kid. In walks Felicia Rashad.
You know what I didn't like right here? He's a good kid. Just fights a lot. Well, he's not a good kid then.
He's fighting all the time.
That is not a good kid. I'm sorry.
And especially if his father is one of the most well-trained, well-known boxers of all time.
Right.
Like if he's only fought twice or three times, maybe, you know, shit happens. But like he's fighting all the time. Not a good kid. I'm sorry.
Question I have about this part is, and I've only watched the Creed trailers like a couple times when they've just like been in front of me, but. We know that there's relationships. Are they going to do the fucking flashback thing where we see that Jonathan Majors is actually in jail with him in this scene?
Probably. Mm-hmm. I imagine we will. Because they were like watching each other's back in the day, right? That's the whole point of it.
Mm-hmm. Damn, dog. Damn.
I really like this scene. I really like Felicia Rashad. I think she brings a great moment here where you can tell she's conflicted here, but she's basically like, listen, I lost a, like, you lost your mother and I lost Apollo, and pretty much we're all we have left of those two people. So why don't you come stay with me? And she's like, you know, she invites me to stay with her and says, I would like that very much for you to come stay with me. Would you like to do that? And then she said, what was my dad's name? And then the fucking, it just says,
got
chills again.
Cool as shit,
and at that
bro.
Point, dude. I'm like, oh, they're fuck. Nailing this
they got
movie.
They
figured out what we all want in this. It's so good. Cut to, of course, 2015, the year I graduated college. Tijuana, Mexico. And Adonis is all grown up now, man. And let me tell you, he is yacked out of his gourd. Michael B. Jordan really put this together. No, I graduated college in 2002. Yeah, I just wanted to feel young for once. cool shot. And this is the first one shot, right? We follow him all the way up the stairs into the venue. We go around the crowd, and as we come back into the bell rings, and he starts fighting and just knocks this guy fucking out. And then he goes back to this boring ass financial group that he works at in LA, where they call him Don. And he's like, you know what? This is not for me. I finally won my 15th fight, and it's time to resign. So he submits the letter of resignation, then heads over to his mom's house, but he doesn't have the heart to tell her the bad news. Then he watches old fights of his father. And this is, I mean, look, I get it.
Are you about to talk shit about this scene?
It's just a small pet peeve of mine. It's a small pet peeve of mine. Yeah. When they show, as for fight footage, they show the scenes of the movie that are clearly like would never be covered in a normal fight that way. Like nobody got that close to him, low angle from the fucking, like, you know, the mat. They just don't have that. But
you know, Nick, we had him boxing as if he was his father.
Dad. Yeah, he's mirroring him
in front of the projector.
It's incredible.
Thank you, Tim.
Fucking awesome. Fucking loved it.
It's visual storytelling, Nick. Okay?
Exactly.
The projection is on him. There's a shadow behind him, you know?
Hit it with me, Andy. Shadow boxing. One thing I wanted to point out, though, is that the movie starts just like Rocky One starts, him fighting in a really crappy place in a church. This one's been out there in Tijuana, so it's like kind of strange and weird.
TJ.
And I was waiting for someone to go, you bum! You're a bum. That's what I was waiting for that. But yeah, there's a lot. That's what I'm saying. There's a lot of parallels to Rocky 1 and Creed 1.
Yep. Of course, the next day he goes over to Delphi Boxing Academy, home of Apollo Creed, where I believe this is Duke's son.
It is. They confirm that, which is
Little Duke. Fucking hilarious.
Little Duke. Love this
Delphi,
actor.
Which is the home gym of Creed in this universe. But Delphi, another Greek reference. We got the Adonis, we got Creed, Delphi.
There you go.
I don't know what Delphi is, but Kevin Wood
got of beating the shit out of someone.
No, there was the Oracle at Delphi, right? I think Delphi is a place then.
Yes.
Greek myth with
Adonis offers you, but Little Duke's like, look, I'm not training you, man. Your dad died in this, and I promised that it just wasn't gonna happen. We're keeping you away from this.
Sorry.
So and we're all watching this, and I swear to God, I'm a fucking, like, a pig in shit. I'm sitting here, and I'm like, who's going to train him? We all know who's going to train him. It's going to be Rocky.
Yeah, of course.
Wait, real quick, I nailed it. Delphi's a place. Fuck yeah.
Very cool. Good job, guys. Before, of course, he leaves, he offers up a challenge to any guys in the gym. He's like, I'll give you the keys to my Mustang. And then Kevin.
No, he doesn't.
What's that?
He doesn't say that.
What does he say?
Stang.
He says, I'll give you the keys to my Stang.
Stang.
Okay.
Like okay. One of his stings.
I fucking love this movie.
Badass. Of course, Kevin the Bank Greer asks, what do I have to put up for it? And Adonis replies, your hands.
Ooh.
Come on, son. Of course, he...
Come on!
He makes pretty fast work of him, puts his ass down on the mat until the stuntman steps up. Now, you guys know that as a fan of Top Gun Maverick, I'm a huge fan of these nicknames, these call signs all these boxers have, right? And I love that they were like, we're going to really ride this thing home. We're going to really drive this home with just the freeze frame and the graphic that happens. Yeah. And I'm like, I love it.
I love
it. It's dumb, but I love it.
I love that we don't see the Pretty Ricky one until the final match. And it, like, can you imagine like a video game like moment where maybe there's somebody who's been Creed's friend the whole movie, and then suddenly a reversal's about to happen, and you see the title card pop up. You're like, "Oh man, he's about to fight him right now!" Like,
It's like in Scott Pilgrim with the girl with Roxy. We're like, you don't expect them to fight, but then it's like it turns on. Fuck, that's so good.
All right, can I try this out one more time?
Go for it.
There we go.
How does that sound like a Pokemon character?
A quick little thing here for Danny, the stuntman Wheeler, which come the fuck on. So good. The Olympic gold medal that he shows off in the HBO promo scene is real, and it belongs to the actor / boxer.
Really?
He won the light heavyweight at the 2004 Summer Games in Athens.
That's wow.
He's a great boxer, dude. He was like the one I always picked in EA Sports those Fight Night games.
Really?
Because he was so fast. He was known for just being so accurate and counterpunching. But yeah, Andre Ward was a bad dude. And shout outs to that HBO documentary thing. That thing was sick, dude. It always gets me hyped watching those 24/7 things for boxing fights.
And while watching that, I started thinking, you know, this reminds me of like watching real sports and stuff.
Yep.
But then HBO also had real sex.
It did.
And then I was like, were those the same kind of...
Same production teams.
Yeah. But like, the idea that HBO had real sports, the sports docudrama where like we're interviewing, but then they had real sex, which is kind of the same thing, but about sex.
Yeah, it makes sense, right?
And I was like, oh my God, that's like, they're the same shit. Like,
I don't know what you're talking about.
You never watched real sex
on HBO?
Oh man, real sex is like the closest thing I had to porn because I didn't have Cinemax. Mm-hmm. And on real sex, like sometimes it'd be an old person retreat where there'd be like 70-year-olds banging. You're like, I guess this is it. This will do for now.
This will have to do.
Tim, he's actually underselling it every time. It would be an old person's retreat.
Yeah,
70.
And they would, they'd have like it'd be like white people with dreadlocks, and they'd be like fucking smoking weed, and
it was a lot. Back I'm not gonna. It was a lot of a lot of gray backbush.
Okay. Can we get a real kind of funny? That's what I'm hoping for.
Of course, the stuntman steps in and puts him down for the count. We get the coolest camera move in this whole thing where as he's falling down, the camera falls with him. It's super rad.
That's pretty rad.
And he's on the ground. Adonis goes home and tells his mom he quit. She sees his black eye and freaks, and this is a fucking great scene. She says, Apollo, he goes, I'm not going to get hurt. And she goes, Apollo didn't get hurt. He got killed. You are your father's son, and you're part of him, but that doesn't mean you have to be him. And he goes, I'll call you. She goes, you want to be in someone's ring? You don't have to call me. And I'm like, God damn, don't piss off Blizzard. God, bro. Donnie heads to Philly, home of the cheesesteak, Andy.
Philly.
Yeah.
And home of the loser-ass Eagles. You know what I'm saying? Come on.
Okay. We did not have to bring that energy into this. And if you're an Eagles fan, I apologize for how poorly they played in that fourth quarter.
At least comment for the algorithm, though.
Yeah. Come fight in the comments of this.
Yeah, please do. Please do. Let's see. He sees the statue of Rocky, which looks different this time. I don't know if there was a different statue. They couldn't get the original prop, but it looks a little bit more. It looks closer to the statue they put up at the end of Batman. Do you know what I mean? Batman Begins. Than it did the original one. I was like,
Can they move the statue? It's just there, right?
They moved it.
It's not really there. I don't think it's really there.
And they moved it to the bottom.
Yeah,
it's on the bottom.
But it's real. It's in Philly.
Oh, I didn't know they left it up. I thought they just put it up for the movie and put it up for like Rocky Day or whatever the fuck it is. No,
Rocky Day.
They put it back up to the top for Rocky Day, but then
everybody gets Rocky Road ice cream.
That's hilarious. That's funny. They put it at the bottom of the stairs so I could run up. That's great.
That's brisk, baby.
He sees the statue and then he heads over to Rocky's restaurant, which is called Adrian's, and that gets me every single time.
That's great.
To see his uncle. And he goes, I heard about a third fight between you and Apollo behind closed doors. Who won? And he says, He's like, how did you beat? And he's like, how'd you beat him? And he goes, time beat him. Time beats everyone. And Adonis,
fucking Rocky, just dropping the bombs, like, time man. Beat him,
man.
This is great, and this was a moment where, like, I appreciated all the context there. You don't need to watch Rocky to know any of this, but now that I do, and I know what fight they're talking about, I'm like, that's my favorite movie.
The fucking freeze frame punch.
that made me laugh. It's like, hey, how did you know about the fight? Well, there's a painting right there. Yeah.
It's right behind you. This is a great scene where he's like, I want you to train me. He's like, no, I don't want to train you. I'm done with all that. And he's like, well, you owe me at least that. And he's like, well, your father, you know, died in the ring. And he's like, well, maybe he went out like he wanted to go out. And then Rocky has just a banger of a line. He goes, no, I think he'd rather be here talking to you.
Yeah, man.
And it's like, right. It's just that wisdom of age of be like, if I could do it all over again. We got a couple moments of that in this.
I love really that. So Joey came over to watch it with us last night, and she hadn't seen this before, and she hasn't seen the other Rocky movies. She's, you know, she's aware of the overall, but she hasn't seen
the Family Guy effect.
Exactly. And I was like, just kind of like update her as things happen. I'm like, oh, this is referencing this, like a live in review essentially. And like when this whole section happened of him asking like, oh, will you train me? I was like, Joey, actually before in Rocky V, Rocky did train a young up and comer, but he then turned on him and it turned into a street brawl. Yeah.
Joey's like, are you fucking with me? I'm like, I wish I was.
Yeah.
I wish that didn't
only
exist.
Only in America.
On his way out, of course, he turns around and says, who won that third fight? And Rocky says he did.
So cool. I love that they did it. I love that they said that.
Because, you know,
dude, they should have saved that for the final line of the movie, though.
Oh, you're right. You're right.
So who actually won that fight?
Boom!
Credits. Yeah. Oh,
that would have been sick. That's so damn good.
Wow. But
I appreciate it. Just
drove that into the ground, Andy. That plane just did not stay afloat.
I really appreciate the willingness of Sylvester Stallone to let Creed win, you know, because like we hear about The Rock and Vin Diesel and all this dumb shit about like who can punch or whatever. I love that they made a Creed movie, and like it's a Creed movie, and Rocky understands, and Rocky both as a character and Sylvester Stallone, who again wrote the character, and it's like we've talked for six whatever movies now about like how there's a lot of similarities between them. I like that he allowed that to happen and embraced it.
And they even say it multiple times here. They're like Adonis or Apollo Creed was the greatest boxer to ever live. And even Rocky says that. He's like, I'm not the greatest. Like Apollo was. It's just I caught him on the way down and he got me on the way up, and that's just how fighting goes.
DJ Kento in the chat said there's a reason why the 4K Rocky collection coming out is only 1 through 4. When did Polly die?
Between 6 and 6, Creed.
Yeah, he wasn't in. He was in Bucky Balboa.
Fucking Rocky.
He was
Rocky
in all of them. Oh fuck, yeah. I didn't remember that. Damn, you're right.
Remember, he was painting in the meat locker. He was painting cows.
Oh, you're right. Because I was hoping that, like, well, I guess I mean these Creed movies already kind of ruined it, but like, I was hoping for Tim's sake that they write off. If he died in Part 5, that's not part of the canon anymore. Mm-hmm. And like, guess what? Polly's actually back.
Exactly. Polly's back. Motherfuckers. One fact I want to drop here is
maybe he got out of the car.
Sylvester Stallone was 69 when the film was released. Nice. The same age as Burgess Meredith when Rocky 1 was released.
Wow. Wow. Different. What a difference. God, 3 decades science. Of steroids make. Jesus Christ. Let's see. Later that day, Adonis watches an HBO Sports promo for Pretty Ricky Conlan, who will be fighting Danny Stuntman Wheeler, who's the same guy that put him down in L.A. Mm-hmm. That night, Donnie gets awoken by his downstairs neighbor who was spitting some nasty shit down on her on her beat machine. he bangs on her door, and Tessa Thompson answers, and he just completely fumbles the rock here.
Oh, it's great.
Man, he just
fumbles. His response is like so ready to just talk shit and just be like, oh, hey, I'm Adonis. It's like, fuck, man. Oh, I believe in you immediately here.
Yeah.
I love that he's like, I got to work out in the morning, and she just gives him a ration of shit for that stupid-ass thing he just said. Like, why would you even mention that? The next morning, he heads to Mighty Mix Gym, which is just so much cleaner than it was back in the 70s, thanks to the fact that...
The worst glow-up ever, dude.
Pete
the worst.
Give me
now.
That grime.
Yeah, give me that grime, dude.
Absolutely.
Hey, and Nick, wasn't that their OG janitor that was there, too? The guy that
was it really?
Rocky? I think it was. Well, when we get to that scene, but I was like, the dude, obviously, was it a wig? No, it's a toupee. So that's what that dude had.
But here's the thing, everyone. Okay, the toupee, the people that wear toupees are really the unsung hero of this business because they're the ones out there. They're not lying about their toupees. They're trying to sell more toupees. Are they gross door-to-door salesmen of Hollywood? Maybe. But at least they're being honest about it. Unlike Evangeline Lilly.
Is it a wig? I don't know. Wigging out. The Scarfie? No.
It's funny because you hit the note already and then hesitated on the note the third time.
It was a... Which one's the snare?
Why is it so quiet? It's like
need more snare in my headphone.
Oh, here we go. Is it a wig? I don't know. Wigging out with Scarpino.
One of these days, we'll just build you a little pod where all this stuff just stays hooked in, and we're going to fly you in like the drummer from Rush.
I love it.
I'm going to be hooked up to it with my body.
Oh, wait, who was the drummer that flipped upside down? Was that Tommy Lee, or who was that? Remember,
I don't know.
That?
Travis Barker did that one time on Blink-182.
He was copying someone from the 90s. Leo the Lion Scorpion is there training him. His dad's the trainer. He looks really cool. His father's Pete Sparino, and he's like, I'll sign you up, bud. He goes for a jog later that night and sees a poster for Bianca at the local club, which is the Electric Factory or something cool like that. Curious, he heads in and he watches Tessa Thompson just dominate the stage. Back at the gym, the Wheeler Conlon fight.
He's just in love at that point.
I get it.
How could you not?
Jesus, wouldn't you be? Yeah.
Just watching someone dominate. Yeah, you said the right word, dominating the stage.
She just is completely captivating in that scene. And you can see, to Michael B. Jordan's credit, like, I think he played this well. And he's like, damn, I'm in love. That's how it goes. That's my favorite so far. That's like lasers in my ear.
It gets worse and worse every time.
Lasers in my ear. That's good.
Back at the gym, the Wheeler Conlon fight is off because of some pre-fight shenanigans that ended up breaking Wheeler's jaw. At some point, they established that Pretty Ricky is also going to jail forever, and this might be his last fight or something.
The HBO thingy, yeah.
A lot of parking tickets.
All right, yeah. Pay your parking tickets.
Stack up over there.
This is what I'm telling you guys. Don't skip jury duty because they come for you.
Mm-hmm.
Let's see. Donnie heads over to ask Rock.
Oh, fuck.
He goes over to ask Rock for some drills because he needs some hand speed. And he tells him, he's like, listen, man, I'm go by Johnson. He goes, if you train me, we can fly under the radar. And then Rocky, love that Rocky is wearing these massive wool mittens that he has.
The wool mittens are comical.
I love them.
I fucking love it. And I also love his little winter fedora. Like, of course, as Sancho is repping here, you gotta
have
a
real replica one.
But his nice one, his one in this one, like, he's cozy.
It's cold. Of course, Rocky can't help himself. He goes, all right, I got a few. That's it. And then he writes them all down on a piece of paper. And Adonis takes a picture of him. And he goes, don't you want this? He goes, nah, they're all up in the cloud. He goes, what cloud? It's such a Rocky
Cloud. He says it
moment.
Twice.
What cloud?
Man, he's just so natural, man. I could fucking watch, like, not necessarily Sylvester Stallone, just Rocky.
Yes.
Like,
yes.
I need more of it, man.
Adonis calls his mom. She does not answer. So he heads downstairs to ask Bianca out for dinner. And these two just have really good chemistry. Bianca,
not a date. What are you talking about?
It's not a date.
Not a date.
I don't give a shit.
Not a date.
Bianca heads back inside for a moment to grab her hearing aid, and they head off to Max's for cheesesteaks.
He goes
and
to
Jesus, these sandwiches. Oof.
I was going to say, he goes to Bianca's pet store.
Oh, my God.
Hey, you know, incredible. You get shell shock, right?
She teaches him some colloquialisms, including What's that John can just be a noun for anything. And then he asks her about her hearing aid. She said, I have progressive hearing loss. Eventually, she'll lose her hearing completely, but she's come to terms with it, and she's learning ASL, and she's trying to get as much work done as possible before she has to segue into that.
James Burke has that same thing.
Does he really?
Yeah.
Does he know this?
In one of his ears. No, he doesn't know that yet. But yeah,
I knew that as a kid. I knew the bullshit thing.
That
was like, you know what this
John Leguizamo did. The John Leguizamo bit.
Is that why I know the John Leguizamo thing?
Yeah, John Leguizamo from Freak. He had it in his one-man show.
Oh, my God. That's exactly what it was. It was not only that, but like everybody knew what that meant. Everybody knew the cool S.
Of course.
Yep.
Yeah.
Now, here's the thing. Like, this is where I was talking about where Creed's characters feel much more interesting than Creed himself. And that's the difference, I think, between Rocky and Creed is Rocky has always been the most interesting character where everyone else feels like, you know, sort of like a stereotype. Even like Adrian was not, she didn't have any depth to her in the first Rocky. She was just painted as shy.
Out of here with that Adrian. I know.
I'm just saying. So, and Paulie was just mean, and then he was like a lone shark as Rocky. So that's what I mean. Like, when we get to all this Paulie hate. When we get
doubling down on that joke.
When we get to Creed, I just feel like all the supporting characters are much more interesting, like Rocky, Creed's Apollo's wife, and then now we got Bianca is like much more interesting than him himself. So that's where I find a hiccup. And then also, I feel like Bianca is just used as a way to inspire Adonis to be like, go for what you want. You had everything. You were a successful financial person and advisor. You had everything. You had the silver spoon in your mouth, and you're giving it all away. But why? It's because you got to go for whatever's inside of you, your dreams. And that's what Bianca's doing. She's literally living her dream out until it's over. So that's what, and that's why I said, so like, you motivate me. She's like, what do you mean I motivate you? That's all I am to you? Well, clearly that's why she's here.
Great as motivation. Wouldn't be your motivation for me. Great. Like, yeah. Oh man, that's so good.
Hot. Of course, Rocky, conflicted, heads to his consigliere, the same person who's always gone to her device, to get some advice about Donnie. And it's actually Adrian's grave and Polly's grave. They are buried next to each other.
Oh, so good, dude.
And it doesn't really hit me until he reaches up and grabs the chair from the tree. And I'm
come on. Yes, dude, this hit me hard. And like, because like, it was so good, and I remember we enjoyed Rocky VI, Rocky Balboa, a lot because it was like it felt real. It felt like there was so many like tender moments, and the grave scene definitely was like one of the major ones besides the monologue later in the movie. But seeing it here recontextualized and a decade later, even than that, it felt special and it felt really like really poignant and meaningful in this film itself, which I thought was great.
Yeah, he tries, of course, then to read his newspaper like he's done throughout the prior years, but something else grabs his attention. And a little bit of nuanced acting here from Sylvester Stallone where he just can't quite focus on that because something else is nagging at him. So, and we hear, of course,
about the three seashells.
Hey, how do you use the seashells? Which one goes, what does it do?
I get a call out here to the original score here. We hear the love theme, his sort of like that delicate theme he had with Adrian.
Should I look that up, Nick, or?
What's that?
Should I look up how to play them?
Can you give me your best interpretation of it right now? Yeah. Top of your dome. Wow.
You motherfucker.
What is that? Okay. You know
the gift that keeps on giving. We watched the fucking Tetris trailer. Now here we are.
Love it. So he heads over to Mighty Mixed Gym. Pete wants Rocky in Leo's corner, but Rocky is there for Adonis. And he tells him, your father was special. I don't know if you're special. That'll come in time, but you got to work hard. If you don't, I'm out. And he goes, every punch I've ever thrown was on my own. Nobody ever showed me how to do this. I'm ready. So Rocky takes him to the chicken coop. A little callback from the first one. You got to check this chicken in under 30 seconds. And he can't do it, of course.
Love this. Love. Like,
it's a good little mini montage. A good little mini montage.
A little montage.
It's also just like, I was already talking about how much I love the scene leading up earlier, but I just love that sort of like, hesitant. Yeah, I'm here. I don't know if I still don't know if I want to commit to this yet, but I kind of do, and I'm here, and you know I do because I am here. It's just like it's such good nuanced acting.
It's so great, and this is like such a Tim Getty's little factoid pull here. But the scene, the music that's playing is the Nas song "Bridging the Gap," and what's really cool about that is a song featuring Nas's dad.
There's a bridge in Philadelphia.
There's a bridge in Philadelphia as well. So, like, yeah, the music there, I thought that was, like, it was really cool.
So good. Let's see. We have great moments here, including Rocky making him stare back at himself in the mirror and say, that guy's your worst opponent. At one point, the bell rings, and he goes, that bell means hell. And I was like, I fucking love shit that rhymes. And then Donnie heads over to hang out with Bianca and listen to some of her dope beats. And they lay on the rug and they fall in love.
And it's fucking hot.
He smooches her neck a little bit.
A little smooch.
It's sexy.
I love the way this is shot. It feels authentic. It feels like two people having a moment, you know? And I feel like sometimes like sex scenes can just feel like sex scenes in movies. This didn't feel that way.
Yeah, this felt more like intimacy, which is good.
Mm-hmm, but this is also romance. Where I think the better Michael B. Jordan pops up, where a lot of this does feel natural. When he's doing the stupid rap along, he's like, where the beagle, like, you could tell a lot of that is improv, and that's why it feels good to watch, because it doesn't feel like somebody's memorizing a line, you know.
Pete gets a solid idea. He wants to set up a fight between Donnie and Leo, his son, make a couple bucks. Donnie talks him, and then Donnie talks Rocky into the fight. He catches Rocky's ball midair, which is hilarious because Rocky's throwing it up, and he just kind of catches it out and tells him he wants to
just fucking love the ball.
The ball's back, baby. And then he goes, he's like, listen, we're going to do this fight. We're going to go old school. I'm going to move into your house. It's going to be great. And he's like, don't worry. I don't walk around naked or anything like that. He's like, what if I want to walk around naked? He's like, or do walk around naked. Anyway, man, the goddamn music here is great as well. Adonis tells Bianca he's moving out and then introduces her to his uncle, who he assumes she does not know. And she's like, hey, what were you going to tell me your uncle's fucking Rocky Balboa? Like, you're not who I think you are.
Well, don't forget that line. He's like, well, he's white. And he's like, well,
love it.
Yeah.
What's the exact line? It's
really clever.
He's white. He goes, he says something like, I usually am, or I always have been, or something like that. Like, he says a Rockyism right here. Yeah. It's just a good fucking call. It just feels like the good times of watching the old Rocky movies. You know, what was it? 6 months ago. It was right before we came back to the studio in October, so I'd say around August, maybe
something like that. Rocky sets him up in Polly's old room with all of Polly's old dirty mags and tells him his kid moved to Vancouver with his lady friend, so we're not going to be seeing him in this movie anytime soon. 5:45 in the morning, everyone, wake up. Donnie wakes up to see Rocky dancing. He's like, this is how you got to wake up to train. And that's how I wake up every day, Andy,
get
for you.
Get the caboose moving.
Get the caboose moving.
It didn't look like dancing to me. It looked like he was doing like some form of a gritty. I don't know if Andy could confirm that, if you looked at it.
Was he grittying,
like,
Andy?
He looked like it. He was doing kind of like something like that.
DJ Kento says that the line was, but he's white. Yeah, a long time.
Rocky takes him to, he's like, listen, you can't train at the same gym that your opponent's training him, so I'm going to take you to the Front Street gym, which is down on Franklin or whatever. And man, to tell you what, this place, different vibe. That's place is where you want to train a champion. This place is fucking like the most intimidating thing you've ever seen.
No sponsors have taken over this place, man.
No, absolutely. No one's cleaning this fucking place. Yeah. This place has that smell of like a real gym where you're like, oh my God, somebody needs to clean this place immediately with like acid. We get introduced to the crew, which includes Stitch, the Cut Man, and Grant, the Glove Guy. And I was like, oh, these guys are going to be here the whole time.
Man.
Is he real
cut man? Yeah, real cut man.
That's what I thought.
Isn't it? What do they say about the glove guy? Like the best fucking glove guy in NA, top 10 NA.
And off we go for some more training. Rocky can't hold the pad, so he's working with Donnie's mind. He's like, why don't you hold the pads? He's like, I am working with you. I just can't. I'm old. I can't hold these pads. I can't be fast for you. So I'll work with your mind. And we got other guys that work with this. And
I can't hit you fly balls in the outfield, mijo. All right? Let me just watch.
I do want to give a shout out. I assume the guy that's working with him with the gloves as well is a real trainer. Real. All these guys look legit, because the guy was like, you know, they do that cool thing where it's like, pop, pop, and then do the go over, and you're supposed to duck over, but it always hits me right in the eye. I'm like, I'm like the dumb dog from The Simpsons with the fucking frisbee just hits me right in the eye.
All those people, real coming from boxing, the gym, fake, CG, all of it.
All of it. Well, some of them
all volume. All volume.
Conlan is a real fighter as well, right?
Yeah.
The guy, the actor.
Pretty Ricky? Yeah, real champion. I think he held it, like, he's a cruiserweight champion? Yeah.
That sounds right.
Sorry, I'm coming. You might have just talked about this, but this scene where they start introducing, like, oh, he's the best cop.
Yeah.
He's the best this. He's the best that. I love the getting the team together. It's a bunch of newbies. We don't know them, but it's hype as shit. I'm just like, oh, I believe in this squad, baby.
The best pilot in the galaxy.
Yeah, well, exactly. He's the fastest man alive.
It's hype. It's just some. It's one of the cornerstones or hallmarks, rather, of the Rocky series is, like, the relationship between him and, like, the trainer, and I guess we get that with Adonis and Rocky here, but like, I miss the presence of that third person who's like,
Duke,
you're
baby.
Fucking up, dude. We needed a Duke.
I love
it. I thought we were going to have it a little bit with some of these guys the first time I saw this. You just don't. We just don't have a lot of time to flesh out all these characters, but it's fun that he's got a team. And man, off we go. Montage number two. One step at a time, one punch at a time, one round at a time, and the music here is insane. Fight night. Pete figured out Adonis is Creed's kid, and he's like, dude, we are missing out on a big payday here. And to his credit, Rocky's like, listen, man, he wants to fly under the radar, he wants to establish a name of his own. Can you do me a favor and just not say anything? And you think, because that actor that plays Pete is like always playing the conniving bad guy. And he's
what movie is he from, dude?
He's from The Dark Knight. Remember?
Is he?
Yeah, he's one of the guys that has the Joker kills.
Yes,
he's one of the bad guys there. Remember, he's like on the pile of money, and they like kill him or whatever.
Yeah, I remember that. Good call.
He goes to his credit. He's like, "All right, sure, Rock," because he's got respect. He's got respect for Rock, and he never actually says anything. Although maybe he's the one that leaked it. Who knows?
He was like this. Yeah, no problem, Rock.
Exactly. The ref comes in to give them the rules, and everything goes quiet until Donnie freaks, and this is weird. He goes, "You got to cut my gloves off.
Weird.
I got to take a shit," and it's very strange.
You know, it is strange. I appreciate it.
I liked it.
It grounds it, and it makes it feel a little like, again, it makes Creed feel real, and like, I'm with him, and like, it makes the movie not feel like a movie. It makes it feel like you're watching sports, you know?
Do you think that Dom from Fast 6, Fast Furious, doesn't take a shit at all? Is that what you think?
Nah, Dom doesn't shit.
Like, he just does it?
Nah, shit, nah.
I think Dom wills the shit to stay inside of him. And that's what fuels the car.
Metabolizes into more fucking...
more fuel, nitrous.
Coronas. No, but yeah, I did like this as well, Tim. It felt like... this isn't a superhero yet. This guy's nervous by the big stage, you know?
It's not that I don't love the moment. I love the moment. And of course, we've visited this moment multiple times in sports movies before where someone has nerves and has to go throw up, right? The first thing that comes to mind is Any Given Sunday, Jamie
Foxx. Beeman, yes.
The character constantly has to throw up before the big game, and that's just what happens. Nerves are a motherfucker. That is a well-known thing. It's just the fact that he says, cut my gloves off, I have to take a shit. That just is weird. And kind of sticks out to me as an odd line.
1000%. It is odd. I obviously feel like it was odd on purpose, but I appreciate that it is also a semi-callback to earlier in the movie when the mom character was talking about having to wipe Apollo's ass. Yeah. Right. And I feel like that thing of like, he's not quite there yet even, right? Where he's just I ain't ready to let motherfuckers do that to me. I'm still going to do that. I'm down to cut it or whatever. But it is a funny line, no matter what way you shake it.
Donnie enters the ring and to touch gloves, and Michael B. Jordan looks insane in this movie, specifically in this scene. The bell rings and Rocky screams to him, it's all about today. There is no tomorrow. The fight is amazing. All done in the one shot. Very cool. And really adds the tension, I think. I didn't notice this the first time, but at one point, even Donnie gets a cut on his eyebrow. And so they did all of that in that one shot, which is really cool.
Oh, cool.
Yeah, like he goes to the corner as they go to the corner, and he's got a cut over his eye.
That's dope.
Which I think ends up getting opened up back in the next cut, in the next fight. But really cool. And this whole sequence is amazing. And of course, he wins, and he ices him out.
I feel like this is a movie you had a criticism about Rocky Balboa when he went into the sports section, which this movie does as well later on, that you were like
Sancho. Yes. So we I don't think you heard it on your side, but we played the Rank Those Abs music, so we didn't hear what you just said.
Okay.
Sorry about that.
Can you finish what you were or repeat what you just said?
Rank Those Abs is awesome, but before we get to Rank Those Abs, what I wanted to say was, I remember, Nick, you had a criticism in regards to the actual fight choreography in Rocky Balboa, because it was like really jarring to be sports, and then it goes into this really ultra cinematic Nike commercial. But I feel like this one, Creed, does a great mix of a modern boxing fight. Like, the choreography's clean, the way it's shot's clean, everyone looks great, the movement's great. It's not hokey Rocky, like getting hit in the face and like very exaggerating, but I feel like this one is the perfect balance between all that.
It definitely is. It's definitely, I mean, it still has to be a movie, so you still have to make this fight sequence exciting, and you have to make them different. The choreography has to be there. And Michael B. Jordan is very athletic, so he sells a lot of the stuff. But yeah, I mean, you're watching a fight where 12 rounds of guys, these like cruiserweights, beating each other's faces in. You're like, someone would have gone down here. And the ref, the first time Donnie gets knocked down in the heavyweight in the fight with Connellan, the ref would have been like, I should call this.
This
fight.
Man looks dead.
That guy's dead. Dude. Yeah, he's gone. Like, so if someone gets knocked out that hard, you stop the fight.
He did a great job of like immobilizing the arms and just looking like there was no movement anywhere. Yeah.
But
I need it one more time, Kev.
Go for it.
Were they born in labs? Now it's time to rank those abs.
It's a long intro.
Hello, welcome back to Rank Those Abs.
Sancho, if you don't know, Nick's been doing the Rank Those Abs intro quieter and quieter every subsequent time, to the point where I didn't even know he was making noise. He just went up to the mic and went,
Welcome back to Rank Those Abs, everyone, where we rank the abs and the physique of all the boxers in the Rocky / Creed series. Tim, do you have the list of where we're at with this? Because I totally forgot we'd do this. I can pull it up for you.
You know, I think
for Apollo Creed,
Rank Those Abs isn't a list. Rank Those Abs, we just talk about.
Oh, we just talk about the abs.
Think about their abs.
He looks phenomenal in this film.
Can I also just say that?
You may.
For as amazing, it's been a long week, everybody. Super Bowl week. For as amazing as Michael B. Jordan looks with his shirt off, might look better with his shirt on.
Oh, okay, good. Like, I'm so happy. I was like, what is Andy about to say here?
I mean, he looks phenomenal. His physique is insane. His muscles look just juicy and plump and luscious. When this dude is wearing a long sleeve shirt, it's almost even more muscular somehow.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
It's weird to describe, but like he's got like Sancho, he's got like
the traps.
Like the David Robinson like arms. And then who had the wild just shoulders? Was it like also David Robinson? I don't know. Like there's just
like Dwight Howard.
Yes, Dwight Howard is exactly what I was thinking of. It's it's just so square, man. This dude's got an amazing torso, dude.
Very much so.
Well, there you go. I mean, he just looked fantastic in that.
I mean, he looked so fantastic. Like, I feel like we're not even giving enough credit to how fantastic.
Also, I have to say that he does look like Carl Weathers in the ring, like the way he moves and the way his stature is. You really do believe that's Creed's son. Like, yeah. I have to give that to him because he's like leaned out and he moves. But he does have a different fighting style. But I was like, wow, that I would say if this was a real thing, I was like, that is Creed's son in the ring. I liked it.
Okay.
It's definitely not picking up on the mic. Nick is just mumbling.
We just have to look at his fucking lips move. Like,
anyway, they win that first fight, and they all agree we're gonna go tear up the town right now. Cut to they're all asleep on the couch. It was just been a long emotional day. Of course, Bianca plays Adonis Attraction made for him, and it's freak nasty. And then they make out. The next morning, over breakfast,
a little more than that, but
well, they bang. I put they bang in all capital letters. But.
Hey, Cuff and Link make an appearance. Let's go, Cuff and Link's still alive.
Oh,
still
did they?
Around. Oh, yeah. You see the little turtle in the background after the banging. Yeah. It's Love like it. The. It's like the rat in The Departed.
Just everywhere. Just cannot be killed.
And shout out to Bianca in that scene when he wins, where she's like, I didn't know you could throw hands.
No, he's yeah.
Like, she that says, was I didn't so know. Dope. You didn't tell me you had hands like that, yeah, is what she says. And
it
I'm like,
so good.
And he's like, no, but I'm square, right? Get the fuck out of here, right? You said, I'll square, get the fuck out. No, but like, I wanted to, yeah, praise that moment because her believability in that moment was just like, it looked like she had. Like, they were like, hey, you can't watch him rehearse boxing ever until the moment that we do this fight. Yeah. And she comes in the ring, she pushes him, she's like, what the fuck, dude? You're crazy.
Bro, like, come on. If you had a superpower and you just started dating Tessa Thompson and you didn't, you were like, I'm not
going to. You impressed her that much?
I need her to see this.
Yeah.
I can't just tell her I'm a good boxer. I need her to witness me ice this guy in the first round. You're a god for 24 hours at least.
Yeah,
at least.
Tessa breakfast. Thompson, you can't watch Andy Cortez play his MIDI piano guitar until you watch interview, and suddenly interview starts.
Why is it going like
it's getting worse and worse, dude? Are you lowering the volume every time?
Oh my god!
Sorry.
No. I cranked it.
He cranked it.
Tessa,
anyway,
don't watch right now, please. Close your eyes.
Yeah, Tessa, don't watch this one.
God bless you, Andy.
I thought you were going to at least say your Warzone gameplay, Andy, or your Overwatch, but no.
Look away, Tessa, says Michael in the chat.
The next morning over breakfast, Bianca is checking her phone and she discovers Donnie's secret. Of course, she's rightfully mad that he did not tell her that he was the son of Apollo Creed. And they get into it, and this is where they have that concept. She's like, what are you using me for? Yada, yada, yada. I think this is where that scene is. And of course, she's not that mad about it. He's like, listen, 100% honesty from this point forward. And she throws him a little cute, like, you do look like him, though, a little bit. Like, come on. That's pretty hot.
It's great.
Was this the scene of them him doing her braids?
No,
this is out front of Rocky's house. She's like trying to walk away.
This is where he picks her up. This is where he lifts her.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Of course, Marianne, back in LA, watches in horror as the news makes it to SportsCenter. She's like, there's no putting this back in. Was it part of the interruption?
Yeah, part of the interruption.
Is that on SportsCenter or is that ESPN?
It's ESPN. SportsCenter is on ESPN.
So it's PTI. I will correct that for my future notes. PTI,
part of the interruption. I'm Mike Wilbon. That's 20 Kornheiser.
20 Kornheiser. There you go.
Cut over to Liverpool, England, home of the Beatles. Pretty Ricky's manager has found them their next payday. It's Creed's son. Rocky gets the call, and he's like, dude, you can see it on his face. He's like, this is bad news. This is going to set in motion something that could destroy this kid.
Tim, isn't that guy in House of the Dragon, right? The trainer for Pretty Ricky?
He looks like it. The guy with the beard, the bald guy with the beard.
I don't know.
Because I think I've seen him in Rambo. He was in Rambo. So that's why he's really good. I liked him. And I don't know who. I would not fly all the way across the pond for like a 30-minute meeting. But
I think I got FaceTime for that now. We could have just pitched
you know, I need. There's so much shit here that I need to explain to you guys. And I apologize in advance. But I was trying to look up pretty.
I was wondering why this is the result. I was wondering why this was the Google result.
I was looking up Pretty Ricky's trainer because I wanted to see who you're talking about. Yeah. And Pretty Ricky, the group came up, the musical group came up, which of course when we were watching last night, Joey brought up Pretty Ricky. And referred to it as a single person. I was like, I'm pretty sure Pretty Ricky is a group. Mm-hmm. And I was like, that can't be right, though. And I Googled it. I'm like, yeah, Pretty Ricky's a fucking group. Did you know that Pretty Ricky, the musical group, had a song called Personal Trainer? So it's hard to get the answer to Pretty Ricky Trainer. But, yeah, you know,
it's all
I'm just going to move on.
There you go.
I did want to call out also the part in that previous boxing match I think we got to it yet and passed it already. But when the discovery is made, and you have that conversation between Sylvester Stallone, he's like, "That kid's got Creed's blood in him." And it's like such a superhero. He's got midichlorians, dude. Like, like he has superpowers. It was so anime and stupid. I loved it.
Of course, sitting across the table from Conlon's trainer, Rocky says the obvious. He's like, this man came here because he knows you're a sure thing. The only caveat, of course, for taking this fight, the trainer demands that he fight under the name of Creed. Of course, he does not want to do that. Bianca tells him that maybe he's like, look, I've been running from this forever. She goes, listen, maybe tapping into whatever's left behind of your father isn't such a bad thing. He goes, I'm afraid of taking on the name and losing. They'll call me a fraud, a fake Creed. She says, you love to fight. It makes you happy. And you are Apollo Creed's son. So then use the name, make it yours. It's yours.
So cool. So
Donnie heads over to Rocky to talk strategy. And Rocky says, he's the champion, so you got to go to him. You got to go to the body. You got to dig. Dig, Rocky.
Dig. Dig.
If anyone else.
Curtain bombs.
If it was anyone else in my corner, I wouldn't do it, but I got you. So make the call. And they sign up for the fight. But then Rocky falls down during a sparring session, and Donnie takes him to the hospital. Later back at the house, Donnie and Bianca make him a home-cooked meal. It's a cute. I love this scene. You didn't really need it, but it's nice because he's like, I haven't had food like this. Hasn't been here in a long time. And it's just
the
very
things with pasta on it. That's what I used to do. I have a question for the gentleman of the in review.
Go ahead. Go ahead, Sacha.
How do you feel about the plot with the subplot of Rocky getting cancer? I understand why it's there.
I didn't like it.
And I just feel like it's introduced so late into the film that I was already on board with their mission, what they were doing from that scene where he's like, all right, I got you, you're my corner. I didn't need anything extra to stay latched onto this movie. You know what I mean? Like, that's where I was like, I know they need it for to so he can be afraid that, you know, his wife died from it. And he wants to, like, you have that you talked about in this great line.
And we need the conflict of, like, I'm not your dad sort of thing. Like,
yeah,
you know.
I was like, I feel like I was on board. And then that's where I was like.
I'm with you. Extra. I told Nick, I told Tim, I was like, I didn't love the Rocky has cancer stuff. I do think that it does help a bit more with motivations, but I do agree with you that it did feel like it was kind of sprung on us a bit late. I would have loved it if maybe he had it the whole time and knew and just wasn't saying anything and was like, okay with, hey, I'm going to die because I'm not going to get this treated. I would have been like more okay with that as opposed to like, hey, oh, he stumbles and it's like, oh, this is another kind of roadblock we have to get forward, and then he got into a plane crash, and then he, you know, his dog died or whatever. Like, I don't know. It just kept on. I didn't need that.
I didn't mind it. I like it because I think it speaks to where Rocky is. Like, Rocky's not really 100% in this fight because he's got one foot sort of in the past, in literally and metaphorically, like, a grave.
In the grave, yeah.
Because Adrian has been gone and Paulie's gone. That was his best friend and love of his life. So I like that he's like, at this point in my life, I'm done.
I also like that he said Paulie wasn't a good guy.
Like, he has this wonderful line, and we'll skip it forward here, though, where he discovers that he has cancer, and he's talking to the doctor, who's like, we can do this, and he's like, I'm good. I don't want to do that. And then he talks to Adonis, and he goes, if I could take all the things that are good in the world and put them in a bowl and trade that for one day with my wife, I would do that, but I can't do that. So he wants to die, basically. Yeah. And that's such a powerful thing that, like, to me, I'm like, that moment hit for me. And then having to have Adonis like bring him back and say, if I'm fighting, you got to fight too. I thought that was cool.
Yeah.
It's a little campy, but no, it worked.
I liked it. I liked the result of it.
It just felt late.
But
late
but if it didn't happen, I would have been cool.
Yeah, no. And I get that. I'm with you on that. I will say we alluded to this earlier in the episode, but I've been so excited for Andy specifically to watch this movie since we first started Rocky in review. And I'm like, oh my God, I fucking love it. You're going to fucking love it. Because I feel like me and you are, I would say, the closest of that kind of funny in terms of my taste of movies are closer to yours, I would say. So I was like, oh, he's going to fucking love this. And I knew you watched it a couple nights ago, and I walked in and I was like, Andy, don't spoil it for me, but like Creed, right? And he was like, yeah, it was cool. I didn't like the cancer stuff. And my heart sank. I was like, oh, you're not going to talk about the montage? You're not going to talk about it? Like, that's what you say about this movie?
I mainly rewatched it for the old Taj.
I appreciate that. I do.
Because
that, I want you to know, Andy, I thought about that all day yesterday. And I thought about it this morning when I was in the shower where I was like, This sucks.
you remember the scene in Rocky V when Rocky's in the shower? That's Tim.
That's me, bro. That's fucking shivery. Me, dude. But what I don't think you guys are wrong that, like, yeah, it's not necessary and it does kind of come out of nowhere. But I think it makes a lot of narrative sense and backing up from the Sylvester interview I was talking about earlier, where he's talking about, like, the idea of what being a dad and son, like, that changes over time. I liked giving him a fight. I liked Rocky having a fight that, okay, is it a little bit like we've seen this before? Sure, but I thought it was well done. And I also buy a lot of the lines in this movie set Rocky up to be somebody that is not necessarily taking care of himself. Like, even the scene we're just talking about of the pasta and all that stuff. Like, I buy that he hasn't went to the doctor in a long time. Mm-hmm. And that, why was that? Is it because he is kind of ready to go and doesn't really want to know? Because if it happens, it happens. But I like that it is because of what he learned from Adonis and seeing the fight in him. It motivated him to keep fighting and, like, gave him a reason to live, which you kind of can't do that without 100%. Playing the cancer card, which I know is a little like, we've seen it. But overall, I think it was worth the screen time.
I thought it was worth it enough for... we could treat it with chemo. We caught it early enough. Him going, yeah, you know, Adrian, she did that.
Yeah.
She did chemo. Yeah. Like, God, that's such a good delivery and such a good line that doesn't really need, he doesn't need to say much, and he says so much in there.
But also, like, I love the way he plays that, because he's not trying to be a dick to
No.
He's like thankful. He's like, we're good. And then he just walk away. It's good. It's really good. Mm-hmm. I'll skip around here a little bit. Of course, Donnie goes to, they have an argument where he's like, you're not my son. This has always just been like a training relationship, which sucks. And he immediately regrets it. But instead of going after him like he did in the first movie, he has not learned from his mistakes. Donnie heads off over to the electric factory to see Bianca's show, but instead ends up mixing it up with one of the other artists that's there because he calls him Baby Creed. And he's like, I'm not going to let that go. I'll be honest with you. Tim, I wouldn't let it go either.
Yeah, oh, you would not.
I would not let it go either. No. You know, this guy had 15 guys with him. They would have fucking nuked my ass. I'm like, don't you call me Baby Scarpino, bro.
He punches the fuck out of him.
Yeah.
He beats a lot of people's asses.
Yeah.
He actually commits assault.
Do you think that guy still posted the picture on the gram, though?
Definitely.
Oh, he's like, what for the
probably.
Gram?
Yeah, this guy punched the shit out of me a little while ago.
Sancho, this is when you posted pictures to Instagram, you actually could get followers. So, yeah, he actually,
that's
like,
he's definitely. You got to keep up with the algorithm.
Yeah, you got to keep up with the algo. I did like that immediate sort of Tessa Thompson being like, no, he does. Look, he's cool. It doesn't mean any disrespect. And that guy going back, yeah, I know I don't mean disrespect. I'm just calling him Baby Creed. Like, why is he so pissed off?
Love,
like,
yeah.
That was a great little moment right there.
That guy was a dick, though, too, right?
I mean, well,
he was a dick to her. He's like, you didn't say what's up to me. She goes, I did say what's up to you, but maybe you didn't. Like, she's like, obviously fears this guy. And he's like flexing on this. And like, so you're like, I think we're supposed to be okay with him punching this guy in the face, but he definitely overreacted.
I mean, you could tell that's not the nicest guy in the world, but I think him calling him Baby Creed was not meant to be like...
I think it was supposed to be a term of endearment.
I'm not supposed to... I'm not shit-talking you right now. Right. I'm trying to get a photo with you. I respect you. You're a boxer. You're Adonis' Creed son. Hey, Baby Creed. And her being like, no, he doesn't. He's chill. He doesn't mean disrespect. Like, yeah, no shit, I don't mean disrespect. I'm just calling him Baby Creed. Who gives a shit?
Well, I think in this universe, if you say baby something, is this, remember in Rocky VI, it's Baby Rocky. So it's obviously a disrespect. You call someone baby, like Baby Tim, Baby Andy,
Baby
Greg,
Baby Paula.
Paula. God damn it, Andy.
Baby Boss Baby.
Rocky comes to the holding cell to apologize, and Donnie tells him, he's like, he's in here talking like your family, but you got my real family killed. Rocky breaks it down. He's like, listen, forgive your father because he's gone and there's nothing you can do about it now. And it's taking a toll on you. You're still caught in his shadow. You got to move, Donnie, is what he says. Then, yeah, it's why every time you do that, I keep getting confused that we're like in the Karate Kid in review instead of this. Because it sounds like,
you know, what's funny about that? Bill Conti did the music for Karate Kid and Rocky. Oh, so,
LaRusso.
Didn't the same guy direct the first Rocky that directed?
Yep.
Yeah, there you go.
John Alvinson. There he is. Not Al.
Tribesman, the Predator. Yep.
Donnie knocks on Bianca's door to apologize, but she is not having it. And he says, don't shut me out. Obviously, he's got some abandonment issues, a fear of abandonment. She just takes her hearing aids out and just completely shuts him out. Then he tells him that he tells him Rocky has cancer and he won't start chemo. And he found out right before the show. She shuts the door anyway. Sorry. I missed that part. Adonis heads to the gym the next day, but it's closed. The neighborhood kid kind of pulls up. He goes, I heard you're Apollo Creed's son. And he goes, yeah. And he goes, "That's what's up.
That's what's up."
And then finally,
and
he's
and
like,
he fucking wheelies away.
And he wheelies.
Let's go, dude. Again, we've talked about so many Rocky movies. One of my favorite things is Philadelphia's character. Is the culture, is the people, and it's the town like rallying behind
bad sports
these
fans,
superheroes.
Dude. And then
yeah, exactly.
just can't win a Super Bowl to save their lives.
Gia was like trying to like talk to me about the Super Bowl, and she thought it was the Philadelphia Birdies. Which is just very
well, because they say let's go Birds.
Oh yeah,
like that's their thing, is like let's go Birds. Go Birds. There isn't fucking other five other birds in the NFL.
For whatever reason, this DJ Kento corrected us, and I did want to bring that up at the time, but I totally forgot. But it's not John that I said; it's John, J A W N.
Yeah.
Oh, I thought it was John. John, as in like that guy's a John. This is John. This is John. J A W N. Did not know.
If you watch the subtitles, you'd know.
Jesus. I started watching it after that because I got sleepy. It's just like he missed the Miyagi. Let me get over there.
There was a little hint of the sad Incredible Hulk music for a second there.
It's so much. Of course, he goes to Rocky and says, "If I fight, you fight." So they pound fists. And
but dude, the line good of like moment, this fight, moment. I've seen it before.
Yeah,
that if I fight, you fight.
Yeah.
Oh, let's fucking.
He says, "I've seen it before," and most, and it's like, and more often than not, it doesn't end well. And it's like, damn, dude. But then they go off, and then off the next day, they're in chemo. And Rocky's like, "Hey, am I still training you? Get down and start doing some fucking push-ups. We're gonna do this." So it's running the stairs in the hospital,
dude,
and off we go.
The nurse.
And here we go. It's the full fucking Monty, baby. This montage starts, the
hard
music starts going, and then it just keeps going, and it adapts, and it changes, and then there's rap music playing, and then there's fucking choirs happening. I no notes, love this. I love that it starts in a hospital, him running up the stairs. Like, every fucking shot, every cut, everything they do here is perfect. And ending with running, the motorcycles, doing the wheelies and all the shit, the slow-mo. It is hype personified. It is everything I could look forward to in this type of movie. My brother watched this scene every single day before he did his marathon, and I get that. I watched it every single day to come to work. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
But fucking
right now
to deal with the detours that we deal with. God, man.
Are we driving to work.
Why is it always that one street?
I'm driving to work. And I'm like, why again today? It was what is going on? I get so fucking annoyed, man.
Man. So it's time right now, y'all.
Are we going to rank this bad boy?
We're going to rank this fucking montage, everybody. The full Monty. Currently, we have four placements on the full Monty. At number one, there's a fucking perfect tie between Rocky 2 and Rocky 4 because, oh my God, of course there is. At number two, it's Rocky Balboa. Number three, Rocky 1 and 3 are tied. And at number four is Rocky 5. I might not win this, but I think y'all are crazy to not agree with me that this is number one. I fucking love this scene. It's so good.
No. I will not have you denigrating the good name of Adrian, A. Mm-hmm. And B, I will not have you rank this over the montage from Rocky 3, which is incredible.
Yes.
Rocky 2, which is also incredible. Which one was number one? Rocky 2, Rocky 4, Rocky 3, Rocky 4?
2 and 4.
2 and 4. Two I will not four. Have you put this above Rocky 2.
He has no idea about that.
I forgot. No, for a second. For a second, I was like, wait, the Rocky 3 montage was great. That's when they splash each other. But no, this is the one. There's nothing.
That's what stood out to you when they splash each other.
Well, it's also, I was trying to remember which one was the one where he's doing sit-ups and someone's slapping his abs, and I'm pretty sure that was Rocky 2.
It's Rocky 2, yeah.
Is that Rocky 2? Yeah, this is also, Rocky 2 is also the one where Adrian wakes up from a fucking coma.
That's right.
Win.
And says, Rocky, come here. I want you to do something for me. He's like, what do you want? Yeah, come here. Come here. I want you to win.
Oh,
what's
man.
That?
That?
Win. And the fucking choir. Bells
the
hit.
Slow-mo.
And they go, what are we waiting for?
Oh, man.
Ba-ga-ga-ga-ga-ga-ga. Come on, dude. This shit builds like a goddamn army, ready, putting their armaments together to go take on a foreign fucking power. Incredible.
Oh, yeah. I would put this
right into that.
So, Tim, are you saying that number one should be 2, 4, and Creed?
I think Creed is above those two.
Okay. Okay.
No, bro.
I would...
But I'll be down for a three-way tie. Because I love 2 and 4 so fucking
Let's
much.
Let's do it. Let's do a three-way tie.
Put it
Full
on
Monty.
There, man. Put it on there. I'll tell you Monty. What, though.
Sancho, you saying no?
Oh, dude. Okay. Let me break this down legitly, though. Dude. Gonna Fly Now is just so good.
So
I mean,
good.
This one has its own vibe. The whole time... We've been talking about music the whole time. I call these the Creed horns. The Creed horns are really good in the way they get mixed in. And it's, we'll talk about it later, how it goes
it weaves into Creed when it grows into crescendos. The lyrics to it, I don't know what it is, but it's like fight hard, fight strong, fighting harder, fighting stronger. It's not as good as Gonna Fly Now. And I like the moment of them doing the wheelies and whatnot, but dude, Rocky running up them steps, dude.
Rocky running up steps, beat
that.
Iconic.
And Rocky 2 having the kids follow him, you can't beat that.
Remember
as
when he
well.
Smokes that little blonde kid? And the kid, you know, died afterward or something. We don't know. He just fell down and had a cardiac arrest.
Then Rocky in the Russian mountains, dude, screaming Drago at the top of his lungs, dude, with hearts on fire. You cannot beat that either. So
hearts on fire, Tim. Strong desire.
I have to put in second.
I'm a Sancho, put the second.
Well, shit. I hate all of you so fucking much.
I'll tell you what.
Then, I don't know how to handle this then. You know, I mean, just
ask Joey. Bring Joey in here.
I'm just gonna put it here in a
three-way tie. You're the emperor.
No, I'm not putting a three-way tie.
You are the emperor.
I'm gonna make a note that it's somewhere in the ether between one and two.
Okay.
It's in the multiverse.
The space between spaces.
Can you guys give me a second just so I might be able to find some horn sounds?
Oh no. Is it gonna be good as Creed horns?
No.
And also they have
no
the,
horn sounds like, for me. No sonar. No horn sounds. Sorry.
The entire soundtrack is really good. It's really solid.
So
it's really good,
good
dude. It is so good.
As Andy gets out his brass section.
No, I can't find any.
That's really soulful.
Oh, that's good.
That's really nasty, bro.
It's really nasty.
All right, so we cut back over.
That was so quiet on the.
It's quiet here, and you know what? It's the vibe we're looking for because right now I'm very pensive. I'm really interested.
You're looking pretty pensive.
Don't thinking about life, Andy.
Sancho, can you hear it?
I could. Very good. Okay, it sounds like
for the audience,
a fairy fountain from Legend of Zelda.
We cut over to London for the presser where Connellan calls him. He's like, you're a false Creed.
Oh, jeez.
And all hell breaks loose, which is just a weird line. The night before the fight, Rocky comes to ask for a favor to be cash at a future date. I assume the favor was walk up the stairs with me one more time. What was the favor? Did he ask for a favor? Did I write that down?
One last fight.
Ding, ding.
Ding, ding. Just fucking knocks my head off.
Maybe I got this. Oh, old bitch.
And then there's, of course, another knock at the door. And who should it be on the other end? It's Bianca. And it's great. And then and they're very happy to see each other. And they make up. And then Rocky tells them, maybe don't have the sex tonight because it takes all the power out of your legs.
Great. That's a great little line.
And she goes, we get it. He's like, you know, because it does the legs, right?
Legs.
Let's see. Next day. Bite day, baby. We go over a little box waiting for Adonis. What should be in there, of course? It is a pair of American flag trunks with Johnson on the back and Creed on the front. And it's
does
from
Stallone give this to everybody?
Of course,
he's
bro.
Just like, hey, take your Creed.
Well, he didn't give it to him.
Merry
this,
Christmas.
This was from Marianne, right?
This was from his mom.
This was from his mom. She said, go build your own legacy.
Which I love. And I love the awesome. Johnson on the back. It's fucking good, man.
It would be hilarious though if they cut over and half the audience is wearing him too. Did you fucking give this to everyone? Like,
well, he sold them. It was great.
It was a great pro. I gave these to Tommy Morrison, and he didn't do well in these.
But yeah, he tried to kill me. Rocky
he tried to kill me in the streets.
Rocky and Adonis square up, and Rocky gives him just a fucking hype ass speech. He says, "Leave it all in the ring, not for your father, for yourself." And then we start walking, and I love that he goes over, hits mitts, and then Rocky's like, "Come here." And this is all one shot as they go into the ring, and Rocky
with Tupac's Hail fucking Mary playing.
Awesome.
This
so
entrance
good.
Is good,
which I love because his mom's name is Mary, which is great.
So good, very so good. Good.
Of course, he stares in the darkness, and you're like, "This can't get any better." And Conlon's like, "Oh, I brought a guy that fucking breathes fire, and I'm coming out to don't waste my time." It's nasty.
The way this is shot, the hype of it all, I'm like, I've wanted this from the Rocky movies for a long time. Yeah. We got hints of it here and there. Rocky Balboa, I really love the presentation of it all. But this was like, oh, fuck. And no future spoilers, but Andy, I can't wait for you to see what happens next week. There are some laser lights that the moment I saw them.
You saw part two?
I've seen in theaters.
Oh, shit.
Part three is
you're allowed to watch it whenever you want.
Really?
Yeah, it's on. My question for you guys. Is Kevin saying something or we're good?
No, we're good.
Okay, cool. My question for you is, like, this is where I have problems with the movie. Like, when Rocky's reveal, there's like a really dead lull. And then when it goes to the conference, it's still slow. And then this whole buildup is still slow. And I think my problem with it is The only, when the fight is really good and the setup for it and all the grandiose things that Tim wants, it's only really good when the antagonist fighter is really, really strong. And I feel like Pretty Ricky isn't strong and doesn't really matter in Adonis's world so much. He's just the champion at the time. He's a very, he's not as like, he's not Mr. T, he's not Apollo, he's not even Drago. So that's why when it gets to this point in the movie, and since it's the longest movie of all the Rockies, I'm like, all right, get to the ring. Like, I want to see you guys going in, you know, they do the intros and things like that and the sports package. But this is where I felt that the movie, I felt the first time, like, okay, I only care about the end fight and the buildup for it. If I care about the, like, Rocky 1 was great because Apollo was really cool. And Rocky 2, Apollo was really cool. And Peter Ricky didn't really hold my attention enough to, like, feel this buildup. But when it starts going, then it catches me back up to the intensity. But I just felt like, I was like, come on, guys.
I think all they had was Pretty Ricky talking shit in the press conference.
That's all they had.
And in the other movies, the villains were kind of front and center for most of them, talking shit. And you got Clever Lang, like, beating up families in the street. Like,
Rocky 3, Clever Lang's a fucking specter. Everywhere he goes, Clever Lang's just right around the ground. Remember, he's like, you want to jump? Jump. Like, what a fucking badass thing to say. Yeah. He was, but it also helps that, like, Mr. T was legit scary in that movie. Like, you see him, and he's a scary motherfucker. Like, if you, the thought of fighting that guy, and obviously, this Conlon, who is a real fighter, like, it's scary, the thought of fighting him. But he doesn't have the physical presence. And we don't get the screen time with him that we got with Mr. T.
Well, because there's weight classes.
Yeah. We also, which by the way, fucking Sylvester Stallone would have been in this weight class, not in the heavyweight class.
Yeah.
But I digress. We also don't see Pretty Ricky Conlon doing pull-ups on a rope in a fucking dungeon someplace like we did with Mr. T. So,
oh my. It's true. I'm going to bite my tongue.
And also, Drago, one of the scariest people too, just by virtue of the fact that he's a solid 3 feet taller than Rocky Balboa.
Let's break you.
We get introduced to Adonis Hollywood Creed versus Pretty Ricky Conlon, and off we go. Conlon, of course, puts him on his knees in the first round and cuts his eyebrow open again. Round two, and Donnie starts to get his mojo. He ducks under a flurry of Conlon, but Conlon rocks him with a massive right hook. Ladies and gentlemen, we got ourselves a fight. Sorry, he rocked Conlon with a massive right hook. And then Rocky's like, look, man, you woke up the sleeping giant. He's going to come at you with everything he's got, and that is exactly what he does. He's like, don't play Conlon's game. Take it one step, one punch, one round at a time. Round seven, we skip ahead to that, and Donnie is behind but still in the fight, but it is a bloodbath. Donnie closes the distance and goes to the body, but takes a big shot and goes down. Almost for the count, he's knocked out.
Dude,
here.
The shots of like his mom watching and all that stuff, it's like, yeah, y'all did the damn thing.
Just to reverse a little bit, that the moment where I got into the fight is when he hit him with that first hook, when Stallone's like, look for this, you're going to go over that one hand and hit him with a hook, and that's when I'm like, okay, I am back into this world, because he hits him with a hook, and then he cuts Pretty Ricky. I mean, Pretty Ricky is supposed to be Pretty Face. Just like Vega in Street Fighter, you mess up the face, he's going to get really mad. And that's when I was like, yes, here we are. Now this is a Rocky boxing movie.
He bleeds like me, and then the fucking Rocky theme hits. Are you kidding me? This is incredible.
I love it. Of course, on the mat, we find him on the mat. He is out, and everyone's screaming for him to get up. And we get a couple flashes of his mom and Rocky and Creed and all these things. And he just comes back. He just pops back up like a man fucking possessed.
One That's step. What they
said. One step, one round.
Come on.
One boxing glove at a time. His left eye, of course, is swollen shut. The doctor comes to check his eye, and Rocky helps him out. He's like, he taps on his neck to make sure the doctor. And you think the doctor's like, I've seen this before. But maybe he wants it to keep going. Who knows? Maybe the doctor is getting paid off, just like the ref, Cobra Kai.
The fix is in.
She stepped out of bounds. You against you.
Yeah.
Get him out of the way.
Yeah.
You taught me how to fight again, so you got to fight too. I want you to go across that ring and knock that son of a bitch down. Creed gets to his feet. Rocky theme kicks into high gear, and we get into round 12 of 12. They start mixing it up, man, and with 0 seconds left on the clock, Donnie knocks Conlon to the ground, but he's still got to beat. You can't be saved by the bell in the 12th round, which is something I learned. Also learned that's where the term saved by the bell came from. He has
what
to
I
beat.
Wanted to say, sorry to interrupt, but what I wanted to say is this is where I noticed that the music, it hits in that Rocky and high gear, and then it slowly starts morphing into Creed's theme.
It's beautiful.
Yeah, which
it's
awesome. I thought was really cool, that how they were able to, you know, bring in that Rocky things. And that is why when I hear about what's happening with Creed 3, I'm like, how can they pull that off? Because they want it to be more of a Creed story, but I like how they go like, okay, Rocky was the past, And then it goes into the Creed theme and the Creed horns. And I'm like, yeah, final round. Let's go. And hey, shout out to the casters. All right. We casters, we add a lot of drama to what's being presented on the thing. Max Kellerman and Jim, what is it? What is it? Jim Lamp or something?
I don't know, Jim. Andy? That's me. That's me doing my Tony Romo impression of CBS. Oh, there it is. what I do appreciate is the round number with the time left, seeing that countdown in real time. What I don't like is that they're largely, it seems like they're just using the same cameras for whatever the pay-per-view camera is, the boxing camera, and the theatrical camera.
Yeah.
I wish that they were like visually different enough, because my number one pet peeve in movies is Tim knows. Tim's thing is he hates when people get the news via news segments on the news. I hate when those news segments look like they were shot with fucking IMAX cameras. Like I need the news to look like a shitty fucking broadcasting camera. And I wish that like when we're seeing the shots of the mom or Tessa Thompson in the crowd or just shots of Rocky or even just shots of close-ups of Michael B. Jordan in this movie, I wish that whenever they showed the shot with the score and the round number HBO and the time logo on the bottom right with the HBO logo, I wish that looked visually different to me.
Fair enough.
Like in Rocky VI.
Yeah.
Yeah,
yeah, straight up. Exactly. He beats, of course, Connellan beats the 10 count, gets to his feet, and it goes to a judge's decision, which unfortunately does not go Creed's way. Connellan wins a split decision and retains his title as still champion of the world. But he goes, I got to give you props, Creed. You're the future of this division. And he's like, I'm proud to be a Creed, is what he says to Rocky. And he's like, oh, that's
proud
great
to be a Creed.
Donnie raises his hand as the crowd cheers for him, and he hugs Bianca and Rocky. Ricky O'Connell, of course, wins the fight, but Adonis Creed wins the night.
Great line.
Great line.
I'm so jealous that he had that written, because, you know, usually when you cast something, you have to come up with that on the spot.
Yeah, I'm sure sure he's never said that before. That's
you got to try to meet the moment, you know. Not everybody can meet the moment.
It's super difficult because you can mess it up so badly. You call the wrong winner.
We all remember La La Land.
We do.
Warren Beatty fucked it up.
Yeah, Warren Beatty fucking get him off the stage.
Baby Betty, dude.
Rocky takes, and the next a few weeks later, probably, presumably, Rocky takes Donnie to the famous steps. And they have a little trouble getting up, but Donnie helps him get all the way to the top. And he's like, listen, man, when you get up to the top of this thing, you think you can fly.
I think they added a few more steps.
So good.
Like that. Donnie helps him make it all the way up to the top. And he says, you know, if you look hard enough, you can see your whole future from here. And he says, how does it look? And he goes, not bad, kid. Not bad at all. And that the end of Creed.
I was trying to,
dude. I love this shit. Go for it, Andy. I don't know what you're doing, but yeah. Okay, good. Yeah.
For the outro. Yeah, we're emotional now. You know what I mean?
Yeah, dude.
It's so good.
Let me. Parallel shot of him going up the steps, right? You know, the same exact Rocky one.
Yep.
Following up the same way. So,
I love how many times they've had him go up these steps.
Exactly. If this whole thing ended right then, I'd be like, awesome, Rock. Awesome.
Yeah, for sure. A cool thing that Gia was saying was that when she did her first half marathon when she lived in Philly, it ended at the steps. And I was like, that is the coolest thing ever.
That's bad.
But it ended at the bottom of the steps. I'm like, that's the least cool thing ever. Like, I understand. Like, look, I ain't running a fucking half marathon, so whatever. But like, make him go up the fucking stairs.
Yeah.
All right, y'all. We did the full Monty. Now it's time for a little thing I like to call Ragu Oppo.
Ragu. What? Oppo.
Oppo.
What's up, everybody? Welcome back to Rad Guys Talk. The opponents, is that what Oppo stands for? The Rocky series, because they're not necessarily bad guys, and sometimes you're your own.
Not necessarily bad guys. Like the explanation.
Not bad guys.
Yep.
Where do we want to put Pretty Ricky Connellan on the list?
The list is as follows. Number one, Apollo Creed from Rocky 2. Number two, Ivan motherfucking Drago from Rocky 4. Apollo from 1. Number 4, Clubber Lang from 3. Number 5, Dixon, which, I guess.
Mason the Line Dixon, baby.
Y'all, you're right.
Mason the fucking Line Dixon.
And Tommy Gunn. Tommy Gunn at number 6. Where do we want to put Pretty Ricky?
I mean, I think Tommy Gunn goes above him, dude, because he's got a better name.
Yeah.
Tommy Gunn's pretty fucking
And also,
good.
Like, he was just pretty inconsequential here. I really don't feel like this wasn't meant to be he wasn't the demon. He wasn't the opponent. It was getting, you know, accepting your legacy, accepting who you are. And I feel like he was just kind of in the way. You know?
Having said that, I still would put him above Dixon. Dope names.
But the name is so cool.
Yeah. I like the name too, is though. So cool. But this is not something I'm going to fucking fight with. So are we putting him last, Sancho?
Yeah, I agree with that. But just to be on a major watch, I think Jonathan Majors.
The major watch. Oh, yeah. We had him fucking strap the goddamn fucking
forecast. Major, major breaking news.
You gotta watch out, dude. Because you talk about a demon, they're setting him up to be a demon.
The major leagues right here, dog.
There you go, dude.
All right.
So dead last.
We're putting him last.
There you go.
Now it's time for the final fight hype. Number one, we have Rocky Balboa. Number two, Rocky IV. Three, Rocky II. Four, Rocky. Five, Rocky III. Six, Rocky V. I'd put it at number two, personally. I thought Rocky Balboa was such a good send-off to the Rocky character in that fight, the way that they presented it, like HBO. Mm-hmm. It was hype as hell. Fucking love it. I think that the final 3 minutes of Creed's fight are pretty much as good as this franchise can get. I'd put it in number two.
Mm. What is it ranked again? Read this for me one more time.
Balboa, 4-2 are the top three.
Mm. As far as the fights, the actual final
fights.
And it's only final fights, or else the one shot would have been higher.
I put it above Rocky 3. Right above Rocky 3.
So under Rocky 1, 2, yep. 4, and 6.
I'm trying to remember 4.
The Russian.
It's the Russian, dude.
The Russian's cut. The Russian's cut.
If you could, you see, you cut him. You see, he's a man, like, not a machine.
He's like, the man is made of iron.
I mean, just where they fought was just so cool. But I really hated.
They fucking won the Cold War, bro.
Exactly.
But I really hated his trainer being like, you're a fucking loser. And him being like, oh, I'm sorry. I'm Drago.
I don't remember Duke saying that.
I'd go number two. I'll put this at number two.
Oof.
Underneath Balboa,
right there with me.
I would put it above the fight for above four.
There you go. So yeah, number two.
This is just a very well choreographed fight. I think the choreography is good. I think the emotional beats are there, and it's faster than the other ones.
Yes,
I don't think we spent a lot of time on this, which I think works well for the movie.
Absolutely. And now it's time to rank the Rocky / Creed cinematic universe. Currently, number one is Rocky 2. Number two is Rocky Balboa. Number three is Rocky 1. Number four, Rocky 3. Number five, Rocky 4. And number six, Rocky 5. I already said I put it at number one, and I stand by that.
I would put this at number three underneath Balboa.
Damn it, can you read it again? It's so confusing to just... I have
2, 6, 1, 3.
6, 1.
Two Balboa, 1, 3.
I would put it below Rocky 1. I still think Rocky 1 is the OG. Like I said, Rocky himself as a character was much more interesting. It bred this entire series run because it wasn't that the cast of characters around him were much more interesting. He was the most interesting magnetic thing in Creed. He is not magnetic enough yet. I know he'll get there. Michael B. Jordan is magnetic himself, but I feel like the character of Creed was only better. He was better as the movie went on because the people around him made him better. And
Balboa made me cry also.
Yeah.
And Gotta Fly Now is such a strong moment. And that's why I think it's just right below one.
I would probably agree with that. I like this movie a lot. I just feel like one, it just kind of did all the beats that this movie did. It just did it slightly more rough around the edges than back in the 70s. And I think they're both great, but I think that one just kind of did it better. So I'd probably put it right below one.
So there you go. Number one, Rocky 2. Number two, Rocky Balboa. Number three, Rocky 1. Number four, Creed. Number five, Rocky 3. Number six, Rocky 4. And number seven, Rocky 5. We'll return next week with Creed 2, and then the week after that, Creed 3 with Sancho live in the spare bedroom. Extremely excited for that. Let us know in the comments below how much you disagree with this list, because I know you love to do that. If you love the Philadelphia Birdies, if you don't, I don't know. Talk about it. Engage, everybody. Engage. Sancho, thank you for hanging out with us. Where can people find you?
Find me in everything at Sancho West, and of course, I'll be there in the spare bedroom, like you said, in a couple of weeks. So I'll see y'all soon, fam.
Hell yeah. Until next time.
Keep on punching.
One Andy
for a second, I thought you were playing Blind Melon.